It's my fault that we're always running late. So just a couple comments on the Orzarua, and then I want to talk about the Shach, the Xos, the Nesivos, right? And then we go back and talk about, you know, the Sma, the Nod of Yehuda, and then Shtar Amana. We'll do it whatever we can. So just very quickly. First of all, Eitan Kasevitz, there he is, brought to my attention that I missed a good line. I mentioned that the Orzarua quotes the Rach, and in both letters, actually. He quotes the Rach. But, you know, there's a terrific line in the Rach that I totally missed, and that Eitan, you know, picked up on. You have it there? The Orzarua, in general, often had access. In some masechtas, we know the Rach from the Orzarua. He just, you know, he had a very good access to, you know, to the Rach. So basically, the Rach is trying to just explain, agav, you know, why it is that the Irur Habal, you know, should not, you know, have any impact whatsoever. Of course, this is the issue, as we've been discussing, right? If there's Irur Habal or Irur Ha'edim, you know, is there Kiyum Darais or not? So, as we know, the Orzarua's very strongly held position is that, you know, it doesn't work at all. So he quotes the Rach. When I was talking about the different proofs that he brings and that the Shach brings, some of which are, you know, I think appropriate, you know, rayas, and others are, you know, a mixture of conviction and, you know, therefore interpolation. Like once you're convinced something is true, sometimes, you know, you see it even where it's not. Sometimes you see it where it is. You know, it depends on your point of view. It's not always a negative. But, yeah. But the quotation I mentioned of the Rach, you know, I think is an accurate, you know, rejection of the Shita of Rabbeinu Avigdor. But the line is, do you have it there? I was giving you a little bit of time. He explains that the Irur Habal is not going to work because it's like Chad against Shnayim Eidim. Yeah? Eitan? It's in both one. It's in both. I just didn't bring it in with me. In both texts. He said it's like the error of Chad keneged Shnayim Eidim. So is that really true? I mean, the Chad, the Baal, wouldn't tell you that he's being Makhish Shnayim Eidim. He'd tell you that he's being Makhish. You have it? A hoax. Go ahead. You can choose whichever letter you want. It's the same quote. I missed it twice.
The Kiyum Shtar is Darabanan. The Idi Araisa, Hashtar Bechas Maso. Ba Tawimbo, Alav Lavi Raya. Midi de Havia, Ede Bialmo. Ko Yisrael Cherimbo. Ba Tawim, Kiyum Poso, Alav Lavi Raya.
So number one, the idea that Eidim Bialma call Yisrael K'sherim Bo is actually a terrific insertion here. Again, there's no chiddush in that statement. It's true. But saying it here, right, is very telling. You agree, Eitan? Because again, you know, when you have two living, breathing members of Klal Yisrael coming to court, you know, and presenting themselves as Eidim, and you say yes, you know, they have a cheskas kashrus. You know, there's always the possibility that they're bandits, you know, or that they're you know, secret, you know, relatives, you know. But no, they're here and they're presence, you know. And we look at them and we say they're badai cherim until we know, you know, otherwise. But that's true. That level of cheskas kashrus that you'd give to two gavras, you know, members of Klal Yisrael, you give to, you know, two scrawls on, maybe I'm being too harsh, you know, I'm imposing my own, you know, bad penmanship, but two, you know, calligraphic masterpieces, we'll say, on a surface, right? Moreover, so that's the first part. Then comes, I'm just splitting it in half, but what you said. So that's comparable to, you know, Eidim K'sherim based on Cheskas Kashrus? Wow. Yeah. And even if you say, oh, it's an Umdana, people aren't Mizayif. So say it's an Umdana that people are not Mizayif. Right? and they keep going. And then basically what you have also is then, of course, one flows from the other. Go ahead. So it's chad. What happened? You lost it? Oh, okay. But either way, what he's saying is that they're ksherim and they're edim, is what I'm trying to say. So it's chad keneged trei, it's the taina of somebody against trei edim. Correct? Okay. So that's a very good line. Secondly, just to point out, so Aaron brought to my table, was, you know, asking me after the shir also, like, isn't the Or Zeruah like an incredibly compelling reinforcement of the position of Reb Chaim, right? And I think it is. And just to, like, you know, to highlight it a little bit, I think the only question is whether Rabbi Avigdor, you know, who's cholek, you know, is that, you know, kind of problematic for Reb Chaim? And I think the answer is no. Meaning, the Or Zeruah is assuming two things. But I think if he wasn't assuming a kind of Reb Chaim posture, which is also reflected by that rach, then, then he wouldn't be able to, you know, accept the first assumption as well. So what I mean by that is, like, all along I've been trying to suggest that Reb Chaim's idea that Eidim Achsum al Ashtar Nasek and Mishnach Rodusa Bebezdin, that we should, you know, it's virtual, but, you know, it's, we take seriously, you know, the language of Eidus, the language of Chakira, you know, and hence, you know, we treat it as like a blank check of Eidus based on Das and Mishchayim in the hands of the Topes Balashtar, all of that, etc. All along I've been suggesting that, but of course, you know, it still requires, because otherwise you're going to have, you know, navigate evidence that you can't, you know, it still requires an umdana. I mean, if there's no chazakas and umdanos, you know, at play, then, you know, if this wasn't, you know, highly plausible, then, you know, we wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't read the Edison. We've been saying this all along, and that's why, you know, in like Shtarchab Yari my boy, even if it's based on that. But of course, if they're Edim, say it's Parua, we're not saying trade. You know, and then of course the question becomes that, like, at what point, like, if there's other evidence against, you know, a Reish Lakish, is it trade, you know, etc. So I think the bigger point in the Or Zeruah is the Or Zeruah can't completely deny, you know, that the chazaka of, and on the contrary, he speaks about the chazaka of people not, you know, being mezayif, and he talks about, you know, the relationship between that and, you know, the chashash of mechika, you know, etc. But what he seems to be is, you know, when you take a step back, and this is what motivated Aaron's comment, is that, like, the case, you know, that they're dealing with is a case where it's extremely hard to walk away and think that on a purely umdana level, you know, that this woman really was married, right? I mean, we're talking about, you know, individual and cumulative evidence, you know, that makes the likelihood that this was a hoax, you know, that was probably masterminded by the father, you know, in the Or Zeruah's more, you know, explicit, you know, account. That part doesn't really matter, but, you know, the idea that, oh, in all this evidence, you really can walk away and think, you know, lo avid inshi, you know, lezayif, you know, even in this case, and therefore this is a real good shtar. The Edom say it's not true. The husband says it's not true. You know, the, and so on and so forth. So I think what you need to say for the Or Zeruah is the fact that in general, right, there is an umdana, and a very strong umdana, that people are not mizayif. That alpidin, you know, allows any ziyuf-based error, you know, to be countered by edus. Even if in the particular case, and I think that's also mechudash, even if in the particular case, maybe this chazaka is, you know, undermined, you know, just by the cumulative evidence, it's still, because, again, to make it clear, if it was all only based on the umdana, I think it would be very difficult, you know, to walk away and say this woman, you know, needs a get, midoraisa. But if the process here is like a dual process, there's a general umdana, and therefore with regards to question of ziyuf, you know, we assume cheskas kashrus on chasimos, irrespective of the particular circumstances, but as a matter of course, you know, whenever you have this combination, and therefore we al pidin, we have to treat it as edus, meaning it's not that the case is more compelling, you know, to the Orzarua than it is to Rav Avigdor. They probably agree, you know, both of them, you know, that this is a very problematic, you know, application. Now, again, Rav Avigdor might say, and again, this doesn't, what I'm saying now is not true forever, because we'll see in a moment, that some of the Achronim seem to be oblivious of the pure Eidos part and really do put a lot of heavy emphasis on the Umdana. But I'm just saying what I think works better. So Rav Avigdor, you could say, either, you know, that this is just about, you know, chazaka, and this particular chazaka, even objectively, there's a broad chazaka that ain adam, you know, chatzif, you know, lezayif, you know, but once you have so much evidence, you know, you have to, you know, listen to it. Or, you know, that even, you know, assuming that Reish Lakish is based on Eidus, you know, it's still Eidus based on the Umdana in a particular case. And therefore, you know, even if objectively, you know, Ein Adam Chatzif Lezayif, you know, if the evidence in this particular case is different, you know, then that will undercut the Eidus in this particular case as well. Yeah?
What's the difference between the first step of overriding, like, the logical Umdana approach for the Orzarua and, like, taking the other steps after that? I think Rebbe's suggesting that for the Orzarua, like, that first step of once you have the combination of Eidim on a Shtag, so, like, even though that's based on Umdana, we don't really care about circumstances. Because no circumstances.
We don't care about the particular circumstances, I'm suggesting. So until we know 100% that they are not, you know, applicable. Like, what I'm saying is that if everything was exclusively based on the Umdana, it would be hard to low plug the Umdana, is what I'm kind of really saying.
But once the Umdana is only the start, you can low plug the Umdana?
Once
the Umdana is only relevant to catapult the Eidos, then you can low plug that Umdana? In the end, we are low plugging kind of the Umdana.
Right. I'm saying, objectively speaking, Reish Lakish applies to, as Eidos, to protect against an error of Ziyuf, because broadly speaking, there's a kind of cheskas kashrus on Eidos, you know, in those cases.
Even if it's undermined in our specific
case. Even if it's undermined in our specific case. And that, I think, is an added chiddush, but a reasonable one, more reasonable than saying that this is purely about, you know, the Umdana as an Anansadi, you know, but we don't care, you know. In one case, you're making the, if you want to say low plug, you're making it kind of a, not exactly a kasuv, but you're making it kind of a bureaucratic thing. And in the other case, I think what you're doing is Meirosh, you're defining the areas where, you know, Reish Lakish is principle, you know, is going to apply inflexibly, and when it's going to apply flexibly. Like, it's always going to apply flexibly in things that are not part of the core of the shtar, like Piron, you know, but things that are part of the core, like Meirosh, you have to figure out, you know, is that a catch-22 or is that an automatic Reish Lakish? And if it's an automatic Reish Lakish, midin Eidos, that even if in this particular case, you know, it's a less compelling, you know, first step or foundation of it's the general din of lo chatzif inish lezayif. That's what I'm trying to suggest. I'm not sure. Again, I don't think it's true, according to some of the achronim, who seem completely to be, you know, relying on umdana.
And they end up having to lo plug basically.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say for anybody that in this particular case you're walking away thinking, you know, this is probably a shtar. At least I can't imagine it. So that's really what we're dealing with. So if you want to say, you know, oh, it's a, you know, it's a low plug, you can't start, you know, I think it's a chiddush to say low plug, you know, even when, you know, when you have such a weak when you have so many holes, you know, in... but I think it's easier to say that if what you're trying to do to begin with, you know, is to explain like, oh, what are the objective, you know, what is the objective scope of Eidos Shebishtar Reish Lakish? If indeed you can do this, what kind of tainas, you know, does it, you know, Vadai defend against, you know, as opposed to what, the ones that are more, you know, open to the circumstances?
It's not easier because of like the quantitative question. Like, I'm doing less low plug, according to
that. It's a different kind of low plug, is what I'm trying to say. In one case, you're low plugging. You're saying, really, we, you know, this is, there's no even legal basis. It's just that we're not going to, you know, take a poll or you know, bring in psychologists, you know, in every single case, because that the law can't work that way. So, you know, as a, that's the, you know, straight low plug way. And again, I understand that too. But as opposed to saying, you know, there, you know, when it comes to like the core question of a shtar, you know, so, you know, the Torah, Chazal, you know, they defined this Merosh based on, you know, objective principles. And even if, you know, the application of this object, one of the objective principles is shaky in a particular case, you know, it's still core to what, you know, Reish Lakish is all about, Eidos Maksum. I should also add, and this is something that, you know, we mentioned as well, it's just unbelievably fat when we, you know, as I've said, you know, either way, Reish Lakish is extraordinary, right? If it's any kind of Eidos. It's extraordinary just to say that, you know, Drisha V'Chakira, this complex process, rigorous process, you know, can be set aside. You know, it becomes more extraordinary once you're comparing it in terms of Kivin Shigit, Shuvin Achozer, Magid, where Eidos Alped depies requires Eidos Chakira. Then it becomes even more spectacular, you know, when you're applying it, you know, to Ziyuf. You know, that's the Ritva and Rav Avigdor's point. And then it becomes even more spectacular than that, you know, if you're going to, you know, hold tight, you know, and apply it. You know, even when there's Iror Shnei Edim, even when there's Iror Abal, even when there's, you know, more cumulative evidence, you know, etc. But, yeah, either way, you know, it's, you know, the Din of Reish Lakish is extraordinary. So, in the end of the day, you know, even if it was more what we'll call relatively the minimalist ones, you know, the fact that all this could be true without a Gzeres HaKasuv is just remarkable. I don't know the answer to that, but, you know, maybe it's the Pasuk in Yirmiyah or the, you know, the fact that, you know, like maybe a get couldn't be accomplished through a shtar if we also didn't think, you know, that it had Eidos capacity. I don't know what the, you know, implicit, what the implications are of this, but I just think it's a very unusual phenomenon that you get such, you know, an expansive, you know, institution in halacha, you know, without even Gzeres HaKasuv. Yeah. Yeah.
What do we really mean by umdana in Rav Chaim if we are applying a low plug to it? As soon as you are saying that, like...
No, because what I'm saying is that if it wasn't for the fact that generally lo chatif, you know, inish, you know, liziyufe, if that wasn't the generally very strong, you know, umdana, right, then the story alone, you know, if it wasn't backed up, you know, by its being, you know, probable in another way, you know, wouldn't be, you'd say, well, that's a catch-22, you know, or... So, I mean, either way, we're reading Eidos into the shtar. We're saying things in the name of the people, you know, or the signatures, you know, that are on this document. In the end of the day, there has to be some basis, you know, for doing that. So if it weren't for umdanas of some sort, chazakas of some sort, in addition to the fact that the Gemara, you know, itself uses the language, so not in the case of Mezuyev, but in other cases, you know, chazaka, komashinasa, you know, kakobahekshanasa, you know, ein adam chosim, you know, al shtar el shel shel gadol. Yeah, what do you want to
say?
Well, the question is, is that the same thing or not? But 100%. So, in the presentation of Reb Chaim, he doesn't really speak about the umdana part. And that's, it's in a great example. And Rav used to laud it as, Reb Chaim, Yoredeya is no longer, pots and pans, and the shtar is no longer a piece of paper, and a bunch of, chazakos. He created these, magnificent, legal, categories. And I think that's true. I think it's a good characterization. I'm just saying, but you can't ignore the umdanas completely because it just doesn't, the evidence doesn't make, and also the concept doesn't work. So what I think you need to add, just like I'm adding the explanation of Reb Chaim and Edei Kiyum, Chablach Rini, which he doesn't, explicitly, to my knowledge, address. He doesn't address this part either, explicitly. I'm guessing what he would say, or maybe it's better not to speak in his name, but what I would say, to explain this doctrine, which I find very compelling, absent these problems, I would solve these problems, or not see them as problems, but see them as factors that strengthen these ideas. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is the umdana'os, the chazakos here, make the, projected, edus, right, in the name of the signators, reasonable. Or in some cases, probable. Or initially probable, and therefore, now, once they're initially probable, that's what you're asking me. I think that, that then, gets defined as, a function of Eidus Bishtar. And just like to go back to the Or Zeruah, again, I don't want to spend so much time on this because we need, but just to go back to the Or Zeruah's, comparison, to the Cheskas Kashrus of Edim. You have these two people that come to court, right? And, it's Moshe V'Aaron, Shnei Achim Heim. And then it's Ploni and Almoni, who as far as we know are not, we don't have any evidence against them, we're not sufficient, but they don't seem quite as credible as Moshe and Aaron. Right? So let's say Moshe and Aaron come to court and they say about Ploni and Almoni, they're lying through their teeth. Right? So the Cheskas Kashrus of Ploni and Almoni win the day. Does anybody in the courtroom, the dayanim, the reporters, does anybody really think that the Edom are telling the truth? Now again, in the Din Torah there's recourse of Din Maruma, there are other things maybe that you can do, but legally, formally, Ploni and Almoni will look pretty shady, right? And, even if they didn't look shady, if Moshe and Aaron are saying that they're telling a lie, right? So from an umdana level, how's their Cheskas Kashrus works on the basis of, it's a legal category, but of course it also, if most people were not Sheirin, then it wouldn't be a Cheskas Kashrus.
Just to clarify then, at that point though, we're no longer talking about, particular, evaluations of any given situation, but of,
that's
like,
what I'm suggesting. I'm just making the point that in the case of the Or Zeruah in particular, not necessarily all cases of Iru Rabbah, or all, let me say that clearly. I mean, there are two different questions here, right? What happens in Iru Rabbah, with Reish Lakish? What happens in the Iru of the Shnei Edim themselves, in the context of Reish Lakish? Right, those are questions you could say in those cases. Well, there's an umdana. Maybe the umdana is more powerful. Then there's this, incredible, case that took place. That's one of the things I was trying to, underscore the other day about the process of halacha and so on. Like this Or Zeruah / Rav Avigdor on this real case became the, seminal texts of this incredibly linchpin, issue, practically of great significance, conceptually of great, like Reish Lakish, you know, Kiyum Shtaros, Daraisa, Darabanan, Shtar, it's all, I'm not saying there wasn't, the questions weren't there before, or the some of the, you know, Shitas weren't there before. But certainly, all this got, you know, a new focus and attention, you know, and its own impact, you know, from this one case. As it happens, this one case where the Or Zeruah is digging in, you know, is a case where I think any reasonable person would say, you know, forget about the Baal and forget about the, it's the Baal, it's the Edim, it's the, you know, recipient, it's the Isha, you know, it's, everybody is, you know, there are five different, you know, there's something, there's chicanery going on in this case, right? So for the Or Zeruah to say, Min HaTorah, she needs a get, is remarkable. You know, but the answer is, you know, he's probably right, you know, because if the Din of Reish Lakish applies even b'mokom iror habal ha'edim, then probably it's habal and ha'edim. Again, the Rabbi Victor was, you know, hedging his bets too in the beginning. It's, you know, iror ha'edim supported by the Baal. It's iror ha'edim alone. It would even be iror ha'edim, iror rather, habal alone. It would even be, you know, a Shema Yechapa type situation where the umdana, you know, is weaker. There's more reason to question it, you know, even though that's more like an objective problem, not the specific problems. So you contrast like that thought process, that window into his thinking, which is why, you know, it's important not to just distill, you know, sources. You know, reading them and seeing the, like, getting a window into the, like, oh, I met this chiluk and that chiluk and that chiluk. You know, that those are critical things. They can, you know, they can really make the difference in your understanding, not just the process, but of the detail. So then you have the Or Zeruah on the other side, who's saying, I don't care about this or that or this or this or the cumulative. You know, this is what it is. Yikov Adin Sahar. That's where I'm coming from. So it's hard to say. I can't, you know, imagine, you know, that the Or Zeruah would tell you, you know, that, you know, from a credibility point of view, that he really thinks this woman, you know, is married. But I think he would tell you that Midoraisa, you know, she requires a get, because Kim Shtaros is still only Durabana. So that legally there are Shnayim Edim, you know, who are accepted, you know, Nechroi Dusa the Bezdin, with all, again, you could talk about Din Maruma, those things, but when do they apply? You know, those are interesting, you know, kind of tweaks to the system. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why I'm trying to explain that, you know, if this were just about Umdana and Lo Plug of Umdana, I'm not saying it can't exist, because I think you have to end up saying that for some of the people. But I find that even more difficult. If it's more about, this is Eidus, and these are the, assuming that, you know, it doesn't depend each case on the Umdana, you know, and that there is this kind of like Meirosh, you know, a shtar always defends itself against Ziyuf. End of story. That's part of the definition of a shtar. But then I can understand it better. Okay? Good. Okay. I'm sorry that took so long, but the questions are totally relevant. Okay. Agav, just, you know, again, in light of all that, you know, also, you know, some of the chilukim, let's say, even in light of what I'm just saying right now, you know, as we talk about like the core things of the core self-defense, right? So, you know, even before we get to like the Amana or the Anusim, you know, which you could have said anything that torpedoes the Shtar from, you know, being, you know, a valid document is the same. Doesn't matter if it's Ziyuf or Psule Edus or, you know, Amana or, you know, it's offset, that's already a different level. It's offset by another chiyuv, that's already a different level. Never mind, you know, the other stuff. You talk about a shliach, you're talking about piron, you know, etc. But even in the, like, more core things, like, again, when it came to the Bahag and the Rambam, the Or Zeruah was, like, you know, playing with the idea. Is there a difference between saying, I never signed that, you know, it's not my signature, and saying, I signed it, but I don't recall anything about it. And if so, like, which is better, which is worse? That's an interesting question, because those are all within the core, you know. Like, I signed it. I'm not saying I didn't sign it, but I don't, you know, have any memory of that whatsoever. Right? Or another point in the Or Zeruah that he raised, that is there a difference between saying, you know, I never signed it, or I signed it, you know, but I signed it knowing that it was false. That's also today's a discussion in the Or Zeruah, you know, whether or not there's such a difference, and if so, you know, which way would you be mechalek? Is it, you know, does the protection of Reish Lakish go further against saying, you know, it's not my signature? Or against saying, you know, it's my signature, but it's forged? Right? Those are also 2 days of the Or Zeruah. So in the end of the day, it's hard to make those distinctions. There are 2 ways to look at those distinctions. Right, one is in terms of the umdanas themselves. I think that's harder. You know, if you're talking about, you know, the Reish Lakish, like, you know, what is, how core is core? Or at what point, you know, is, you know, the catch-22, you know, of defending something, you know, by presuming that it's defended. You know, so then there can be differences, you know, between, you can argue about, you know, the hierarchy, but the differences between, you know, saying, you know, I never signed it, or I signed it, you know, but I signed falsely, or I signed it, but it's an amana, or I signed it, but I was puzzled. In other words, even if the umdanos, and this would be a, like a good, it's hard to figure this out, we'll try a little bit. Even if the umdanaos were basically the same or on the same level, if we made those distinctions, it would reflect, you know, that this is about eidos, right, and self-protection, eidos and shtar, not just about the umdanaos. So in a way, like, you know, assessing Reb Chaim, you know, versus others, you know, has several avenues. One is when the umdanos are on the same level and we're still making distinctions based on the projection of the eidos. The other is, you know, if, you know, an umdanos should only go so far, you know, and eidos, you know, does go further or in the other direction. Or, like, what about situations where the particular umdana, you know, is, or the particular, you know, application of the umdana is problematic, but it's, you know, universally, you know, applicable, like we're talking about in the case of the Or Zeruah. So there are a number of ways, you know, to try to do this. Okay, having said that, let's we have to finish up the Shulchan Aruch stuff right away. So let's go to that. So we were in the middle of the Shach, I believe, right, in Siman Mem Vav. This is a good example of a magisterial, you know, Shach. Again, you get the personalities of certain, you know, Rishonim and Poskim. As I say, the Shach is one of those, you know, he doesn't waffle. The Shach is, you know, a very decisive, you know, thinker. And that's why it's a little bit curious that he leaves open, that doesn't mean that he isn't nuanced, right? I mean, but he does have a nuanced, you know, perspective on the difference between Ir Rabal and Eidos. Okay? So again, in that level, in that sense, Rabbi Avigdor created a hierarchy, as we discussed. The hierarchy is, you know, both, you know, or Ir Ha'edim Bismach Ir Rabal, or Ir Ha'edim alone, or Ir Rabal alone, and then again, cases where, you know, Shema Yechapet type cases. And the Shach, even though he thinks that the evidence is decisively against Rabbi Avigdor when it comes to Ir Rabal, does not think that the Shas evidence is explicitly against him when it comes to the Eidim. So that's just something to be aware of. We'll see how this is important. The Dene, the Bechol Dokta Amrinan Stama Kim Shtaris Drabana, and Hainu Bishim the Stama I Mairi, Shain Lemak Kishim Chasi Masam Lefanenu. Ach, Betshuva Hi Shamarik, which is another way of saying the Or Zarua, Chole Kalaravar Bavigar Gambaze, Umochiach Min Yerushalmi, etc. But in the end of the day, Umikomakom, right, Sorach Iun Baze Ledina. Okay? Aval kasheino edim lefanenu omrim lo chasam leva bal davar toin mizuyach nearly ikar midaraisa lavoy kiyam kamosha kasafti udilo kehasma. So just to be aware, the shach, you know, is mefakfek, you know, about that. And again, just something I already mentioned, if you hold that the Rambam shita, which we'll speak more about in Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, is a special din, you know, in the nemanus of the Baal Hashtar, like Revelvel, you know, presents it in the Kiddush HaGriz, or as the Rav suggested, that it's a din in the Baal HaGet, more specifically, and it wouldn't even apply outside of Gittin, it would apply only to Get. So if it's something to do with the special stature of the Baal, and therefore that his Iruur isn't the Iruur of a Chad, or even the era of a Baldavar, the idea that, you know, maybe that is equal to or even better than, you know, the era of the Edim becomes a possibility. Okay. For some reason, the Nesivos, when he presents the Shach, we'll get back to it in a minute, presents the Shach as negating, you know, Shnayim Edim. It's clear that the Shach, you know, left opening of that, but that's just more of a personal authority issue as well. Okay, the next point in the Shach is that he attacks the Ramah. I think we mentioned this already, but I just want to go back to it for a minute. Lefize gam divrei Rab de Evan Ezer simin mem beis sif dalit tzorich iyun. So there, the Ramah basically, you know, first of all, just to be noted, anybody see the psak in Evan Ezer? Anybody curious to look it up? It's just an interesting phenomenon, just to talk about for 1 second. If you just read the language of the Shulchan Aruch here, you would not know that there was even Hakasha in the case. You'd be totally misled. What is it? Mem? What did I say it is?
Mem
Beis Dalet, right? Yeah. It's a, you know, long. Actually, the beginning part is all about Eidus Umdana, which we discussed a lot earlier in the year. But then at one point the Ramah says Matzo Kosov. Yeah. Matzo Kosov Bishtar Ploni Kidesh Plonis the Edim Chasumimbo Kozman Sheina Shtar Mekuyam Ein Lachush the Kiddush. Agos Mordechai the Kiddush. So just an interesting phenomenon. That's why you just can't ever just read the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Because right? If you read this case, you would think that we're talking about, you know, there's nothing in this case that says that the Edim or that the Baal was Makhish. It just says, Matzo Shtar, Kasu Bishtar, Ploni Kidesh Plonis, Nedim Chasumim Baal. Kozman she'en ashtar mekuyam, ein lachos lekidushin. You could think that the whole thing is only about mipiyam glom mipiksavam. If you look at the mefarshim, with the lokiyeshmi shemachmir bedavar. If you look at the mefarshim, or you look at the Darkei Moshe, then you realize, or if you look at the makar hagos Mordechai lekidushin, you realize it's a case that we're talking about. So either way, that's number one. But the Ramah seems to paskin that absent Shtar Mekuyam, right, we give no credence to this Shtar. Meaning, Kiyum Shtaros is, or seemingly would be Doraisa in this case. And that is what the Shach is calling out, right? Shekosav Sham, and he quotes it. Hainu Alpi Divrei Dvar Bedarkei Moshe, where he explains detail, that basically he's postulating like Rabbi Victor. So he says, well, like, why would he paskin like Rabbi Avigdor? Why not paskin like the Orzarua? So in Darkei Moshe, he explains that the opponent of a Rabbi Avigdor is the Marik, right? Who lived, 400 years later. And if he had seen Hagos Mordechai, this is the comment. V'im kein divrei Marik d'chuyim, machar shalara divrei Hagos Mordechai, v'rajba bazeh. The Rajba speaks about the piksavim part. K'mo shemashma sham b'dvarav shalara'on. V'im ra'on hayachoser. Of course, that's a ad kan l'shom darkei Moshe. That's an interesting issue in Psak in general. You know, postulating or speculating, what people would have said, had they been exposed to certain arguments or certain authority figures. It's a bigger issue, even once people started finding Kisveyad and publishing, Rishonim that, or Gaonim that, weren't previously known. The Chazon Ish famously speaks about this, but even though people quoted in one way, if you look at the Chazon Ish in different places, and I'm not an expert, but he has contradictory things to say about it, and that's totally understandable, because obviously, it's hard to have a single rule. You talk about Hashgacha and Psak, there are always going to be exceptions, but either way, it's an interesting case. The Shach here says, basically, L'chein kasa ba'ago, kol zman shein ashtar mekuyam, klom edim mekuyam veish l'achmir, that he doesn't think is correct, that's not for now. But the bigger point is, he says, u'mikamakom divrei harav, B'darkei Moshe t'muim be'inai, v'fi sharav savir, d'hach d'tshuvas marik, b'tshuvas mariki. V'lachein kasav shedvarav d'chuyim. B'ilurah d'vrei agos Mordechai v'raj v'yachozer. Avol be'emes avshi nidpeses b'tshuvas marik, eina b'tshuvas marik, v'lav marik chasam ala b'sof, there's no chasima. Nira le'ayin, l'misha ma'ayin sham b'tshuvahi, she'osa tshuva chiber ezagon al'echad, Shizman Rav Kodem Agos Mordechai. It's not Zman Rav Kodem Agos Mordechai, but yeah, it's Kodem Agos Mordechai, but it's actually a contemporary of Rabbi Avigdor, and he doesn't know that it's the Orzarua, but as we know, it's the Orzarua. Ubagos Mordechai, who atok Chuvas Rav Avigdor Kohen, Shapasak, Dein Choshon Shtar Kiddushin, Ayin Sham Chuvas Rav Avigdor Barikos, Vosa Godal, but Chuvas Marik, Heshiv La Rav Avigdor Kohen, Atzmo, the Sasar Dvarim, he was a contemporary. Of course, if he had known that there was also poetry involved, that would have, sealed the deal. However, he has one other ha'ara. So anyway, that's of course an interesting historical issue. Like, how important is it to know who the cholek is, and whether or not his view was accessible or known, etc. Fine. Although it's again a kind of a dangerous factor. But then the shach says something else very important. Kivin shekasa shtar shelo b'rishus ha'bal davar. Says, in the case of Rabbi Avigdor, there's another factor. In the case of Rabbi Avigdor, it's one thing. But kim shekoso shus b'lo rishus ha'bal davar, k'mo shekosafti la'el, v'chein b'shtar kiddushin shem batzo b'shuk nami tzorech kiyum, de'ein b'yad shum adam lo shayich lomar choshed l'zyufei, to'lo yadina mihu ha'bal davar. Avo shtar shemotzi ha'bal choson b'edim, v'huskar shem shenichta b'shus ha'isha, af she'ein yicholim l'kaimo ha'isha to'enes mezuyav, have a kiddushin. The midaraisa l'boy kiyum, b'nei midrabanan boy kiyum, haynu, etc. B'hilkach b'mamon mukmin lachas kasa. Mikol makom v'adai sveika aflachat takant midrabanan have the sveika daraisa. Just to point what the shach. One thing the shach is saying. Two things the shach is saying are significant. The last thing that he says is that the din of kiyum midrabanan shouldn't affect the safek daraisa when it comes to ishus. Even though it may affect, applying the din of motzi mechvara levaraya and dini mamonis. So the relationship between dini mamonis and davar shebe'erva, as I noted the other day, is actually an interesting, subplot here. If anything, right, the Orzarua, when he talks about the Rambam and the Bahag And just his presentation generally, you know, considers maybe, you know, Mammon to be a harder nut to crack, you know, than Ishus, meaning Motzim Bechavera Olav Araya to be like, you know, more, you know, intractable, you know, than Ein Davar Shebe'erva, you know, or Cheskas Eishes Ish. So that's very interesting. The Shach, on a Kiyum Shtaros Drabana level, is kind of saying the opposite. But the bigger point in the Shach is, the Shach says, what will happen in a case where the Baal is not holding on, the Baal Davar is not holding on to the Shtar, but the Shtar was Matzui, like you found this Shtar Kiddushin in the Shuk. Aside from the Piksava mission, which I'm not going to get into, because that's also part, you know, of the story there. But that's we've done already, and there's an application of it, an interesting application. But in this case, as we know, we're in Simcha and all of that. But what happens if it's Matzah or Shtar Bashuk? And the Baal or the Edim are Ma'arer. Does that make any difference? So the Shach here says, oh, maybe that's an opening in that case. Matzah Shtar. Who's Matzah Shtar? Right? And he suggests that in that case you will not say Kim Shtaros Drabanan. There you'll say Kim Shtaros Doraisa. But the reasoning is fascinating. Why? The Ambia the Haloyadina Mihu Abal Dabar. And therefore what? So what he apparently means by this is that there is no if you don't know who the Baal Davar is, then the Chashash Ziyuf, you know, is also, you know, attenuated. The Ein Adam Chatzif, you know, Lezayif is attenuated. So here I want to talk about the Ksos a little bit. So the Ksos, challenges this issue. But let me say two things. Number one, you saw the Ksos, right? Shai, you saw it?
Yeah.
So number one, the Ksos has his own take on the Ramah in Kiddushin in light of this. What does he say? And the Avnei Miluim has the same thing, except there he has an extra Raya.
He thinks it was a case of Matzo B'Shuk.
He says that is the case of the Ramah, and therefore that's the way to be miyashev, you know, the Shach's difficulty with the Ramah, right? Oh. But it's just the way that he explains it is a little bit different than the way the Shach explains it. So why isn't there a chashash ziyuf in that case? In the case of Matzah B'Shuk?
The Kama Chatzife Be'ara Ika.
Oh, excellent. What does that mean?
As in,
so he makes an important distinction.
The Umdana changes because it could have come from anyone, and when you have a larger sample size of people, it's more likely that there was a Zayif in there.
Right. And that's what he says. It's a little more explicit even in the Avnei Miluim, you know, there in Simen, what is it, Membeis. He basically says, again, it's very fascinating. There he compares it to, you know, the sugya in Shavuos. Here he doesn't mention this, right? But there he mentions it. Akzuke inish begazlanusa, you know, lo mechazkina. We talked about it actually in Mavasra, right? The idea that, metaltalin, the assumption is komashatachas yadada mareu shalom, right? So akzuke inshi, the Gemara says, akzuke inshi begazlanusa, the Gemara in Shavuos, you know, lo mechazkin. So the Kso says that applies when you're talking about a specific individual. You know, somebody has something in their hand, and then the question is, do you think that they're a thief? You know, or do you think that they're the owner? So about any single individual, we say aksukein shibigazanusa lo mechazkin. Right, but it's not true if you're talking about the total population. Right? Like you find something or something where, you know, it matters whether or not it's stolen or not. The chashash, because we do know that there's a percentage of people in the world, you know, that are gazladim. So when the latest hasafek revolves around an individual, you know, somebody specific, so then the cheskas kashrus, or the sample size, I'm not sure which it is, right? Shai was suggesting it's the sample size, in other words, the sample of the world. Let's assume the sample of the world, changes the percentages. I'm not so sure about that. But if it did, then, you know, for sure. But it's more like a cheskas kashrus, you know, issue. Like I was saying, Ploni and Almoni show up in court, right? And even if Moshe and Aaron, you know, are opposed to them. So at the end of the day, they have cheskas kashrus because they're individuals. And part of Kedushas Yisrael is to have a cheskas kashrus. However, you know, if you're talking about, is there an aware, there's no latest asafek, you know, or not sufficient latest asafek that they're lying. But don't we know that there's a population, in the population there are people who lie, you know, even in court? The answer is yes. So that's the idea of the Ksos. The Ksos says, if there's, you know, if we know who the parties are who are involved in this shtar, right, so then, you know, we apply the principle of lo chotif inish lizyufe. But once it's matzah bashuk, you know, anybody could be guilty. So, you know, either because, you know, we're you know, our population is not, you know, our suffix is not about an individual. Our suffix is about, you know, the chefts of the shtar or the larger population. Or, as I said before, there's no cheskas kashrus, you know, across the board. There's only cheskas kashrus for individuals. So for either reason, it doesn't really matter so much. We would not apply this this principle. So that's point number one of the Ksos. Whereas for the Shach, it's more about, you know, somebody who, Shach has it more substantive way, but if you know who the person is, then there's a mirtas factor, you know, in his lo chatzah finish lezufe, like the terror of being discovered, you know, and establish, you know, b'fnei kolam be'eda, somebody who would, you know, forge a shtar, you know, that is, you know, sufficient deterrent. But, you know, if a person is anonymous, you know, the mirtas factor, you know, is less. So I think these are two different, like, models to explain, you know, why matzah b'shuk, again, they don't emphasize it so much. I think these are two different ideas, the idea of the shach and the idea of the ksos. The ksos goes on, however, to challenge the, yeah, sorry, where
are we? Shouldn't the ksos have, like, some variant of, like, kol deparish meruba, like, kol deparish meruba parish? Like, if once you know, you have some guy that did it, and it's one person, so you have to assume that he's one person.
Right, but we don't know who it is. I mean, just found the star. Anybody could have, you know, been Mazayef.
Right, but regardless, they're being, it's like, you know, kol deparish meruba parish, so then you should treat him with whatever chazakas you treat all people.
I mean, that's a tricky, I don't want to get into that right now. That's a little bit of a, right, I mean, that's a general question, you know, when do you say kol deparish meruba parish? When do you say, like, you know, ikva isura, you know? So, like, when you're looking at the whole population together, you know, you say, oh, it came from there, you know, where there are all these people, some of whom are, let's say, unethical. You know, then you say, like, you know, kol kavua kamachtsoma, something like that. You know, when it's like, for some reason, it's an individual, you just don't know which individual. So what's the right halachic question to ask in a suffix? That's, you know, a very formalistic but important question. But I hear what you're asking. It's a good question, but that's how I would suggest. Okay. Then the Ksos goes on to point out that if you look carefully at Tosas and Ksubas, Tadi Beis, Shai saw it?
Yeah.
It seems like the Shach is just plain wrong, at least in a particular case. What case?
Your Motzei Ashtar HaKnoa.
Yeah. If you're Motzei Ashtar HaKnoa Bishuk, it seems like we are not Choshesh Leziyuf, right?
And we return it.
And we return it. And kiyum shtaros would only be drabanan, and not doraisa. Correct?
Oh.
So, and he finds that to be, a problem, for the shach. So the Nesivos actually discusses that question. You saw it? That's part of the Ezra? Saw it?
Yeah.
So he has a suggestion. Okay. He says as long as eventually, what does he say? As long as you have to return, as long as you're the Tofes Ashtar is the same guy. You have that?
Yeah.
Here, Od Kosav Ashach, Ashtar Kiddushin Shinimsa Deboi Kiyum, Doraisa, the Kivin Shena Biad Shumadam, Leshai Chlomer Koshid Lezuva, the Tama, Sefer Ksel Sachoshin, Meosha Kosav Atosis, the Lokasha Midi. You have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Just because he's not holding on to it, there still is an individual, namely the Malve, right, who's speaking about the authenticity of this shtar. So the fact that he's not Toface now, should that really matter if he's the person who it's going to be returned to? Diavaziyuf, right?
Yeah, Diavaziyuf.
There's Mirtas, because it's Milsavita Ligluye. Aye, but the problem is this is a Shtar Hakna, and Shtar Hakna doesn't have to ever reach the Malva, right? So maybe the Malva is like, he doesn't know anything about it, and therefore it's not, somebody else could have been Mizayif it. You have that?
Yeah.
At some point, Vadai Tzorich Lahalvoslo. Mashen Kebedimsa Shtar Kiddushin, Eina Balafanenu, Amrinan, etc. Kivin Shabalkan, Rakshanu Bezdin, Rotim Lahakzika Bimikudeshes, etc. So that is the. Right. So the point I want to make is as follows, two things. And then the Ksos and the Meshoviv Nesivos says, number one, he doesn't think that's true. That's a Shitas Yachid, that in a Shtar Hakna, you ultimately have to give it to the Malva for some point to work. That's a Shitas Yachid, we don't know that way. And therefore, he thinks, the question, is Chazar Lidukta. Okay, so I want to say two things about this case. Number one, the whole big issue. The idea of matzah shtar or eno biyad tofes shtar is treated by the shach, by the ksos, by the nesivos. They treat it all purely on the umdana level, right? What population you're taking from, or are you looking at it in terms of an individual? The issues that we discussed, or the way the shach and the nesivos are saying, there's mirtas. Because it's Milsa David Ligluye, it'll tarnish his reputation, etc. However, the second that you take a Rav Chaim type approach to Reish Lakish, and this is Midin Eidos, so then there's a huge, alternative to all of this. And that is that there's simply, in order for the Eidos of the Shtar, the Reish Lakish, to work, it has to be Biyad Tofes Ashtar, the Baal Ashtar. That's the whole point, that one of the advantages of Chaim is that it explains all the cases of Nefila and why, when the Baal Ashtar is not, in control, all you have is an Umdana, you don't have the Eidos. Maybe with the exception, this is what I wanted to also add, to explain, maybe the Xosis question, of Shtar Hakna. Because, and the other way, not like the Mesivas. If shtar, the chiddush of shtar hakna is that the shtar is already chal even before, it's given to the malve, let's say. So the second that the shtar is written, and it leaves the possession of the Lova, right, there's already the shtar is a factor. So it's conceivable that the Das HaMischayev, which creates, you know, a Resh Lakish type, you know, shtar, Eidos, in shtar Hakna, you know, might be different. In other words, where the Tfisas Bala shtar is a condition, you know, for the shtar, you know, to be gove, for the effectiveness of the Kinyan shtar, it could be that the Din Resh Lakish also is contingent upon, you know, the Tfisas Bala shtar. At least I'm not sure. I think it's an interesting topic. But if you have a shtar hakna, maybe part of the Das HaMischayev is that the blank check of ages begins, you know, as soon as it's Yatza Mershus, you know, hello. Okay? That would explain why Dafka in that case, Matza Shtar Bashuk, you know, Dafka in that case, we would say Kim Shtaros is Drabanan, whereas in other cases, Kim Shtaros is Daraisa. Okay, that's the point that I wanted to make. But in general, the whole issue of the Shach, instead of being, you know, surrounding, you know, the question of, you know, Mirtas and, you know, and Achzuke Inshi, etc. Like, with a Ksos in the Avne Miluim quotes Achzuke Inshi, Gazanusalo, Mechazkinan as a Raya, you know, I immediately thought that was very curious, because of course there's no shtar there. That's purely based on, you know, the umdana or the tfisas hametaltalin. There's no edus. How can you compare that to Resh Lakish? So it's interesting that here he dropped it as a raya, but in the end, I think these two perspectives, the Reb Chaim perspective and the Ksos / Nesivas, maybe even Shach perspective, really are fundamentally different. And certainly the idea of the Nesivas, which is, well, if you're going to give it back to him, you know, then he's the Mirtas guy, but that's all fine and good. But until he's holding it, there's still no Tvisas Balashar. Yeah.
But the Aegis only begins when there's a Tvisas Balashar. And how do we understand, like, the Resh Lakish on Gimel Le'Aleph? And the Bahai Nefta is before that happens.
Say that again.
Like, on Gimel Le'Aleph, Bahai Nefta, the whole Zim and the Gemara is before the Shtar is ever given to get to the Isha. So we invoke Resh Lakish before the Shtar is given to the Isha. So there's no Tvisas Balashar.
No, we're just saying that if the shliach is neman, no, we're not necessarily. I mean, that's a question whether or not, you know, his nemanus about being a shliach, you know, might be earlier because that's what we discussed already, right? But in Gimel Menachem, when the Gemara is quoting Resh Lakish, they're saying, you know, how could he, you know, be, how could the shliach be neman when you need Raya Doraisa, and they're saying, well, once he hands it over, that's not a problem because you have Raya Doraisa, you just need Raya Drabanan. So he's supplying Raya Drabanan. And they're saying the Resh Lakish is after it's handed over. First of all, either way, that's not Nafal Bashuk. That's part of the process of sending, you know, the thing. But what I'm saying is the bigger idea is, what problem do you need to solve? Kiyum Daraisa or Kiyum Drabana? That's what the Gemara is asking. If you need to solve Kiyum Daraisa, then Bifanai Naftam shouldn't solve that problem. The answer is no, you only need to solve Kiyum Drabana because the second you hand it over, you know, Daraisa, there's no problem. And there's no ability of Yerubal, even if there is Yerubal, which is going to come after the Nesina. So it's not before, it's after. The Namonis of Bifanai Naftam is before. But the Bifanai Naftam Nemanus is serving the function of protecting, you know, the shtar, you know, once it's in the hands of the Isha, which is after. Okay? So, yeah, that's one point. A similar kind of discussion is also, you know, back to the Ksos. The Ksos has a discussion here about Ksavyad. Remember our old friend Ksavyad? Yeah? So, what's the status of a Ksavyad? And, you know, it came up a little bit in the Ramban, in Mechamos and Sefer Eskos on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, of course. And then we had extensive discussion about it. you know, the Sugya Nivamos and the Rajba and the Ritva and the Rambam and, you know, the Rashis and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? That basically there is this whole question of where Savyad stands vis-a-vis, let's say, Eide Chasima, also Eide Mesira. So the poskim here discuss the din of Kiyum Shtaros D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan. What's the din regarding Savyad? Okay? So, it's very interesting. The Shach here, you know, concludes that you should be Mechalik. That when it comes to Savyad, right, you don't assume, you know, the mirtas, I guess, level, or the, you know, lachatze finish lizayufe. You know, and therefore, where is it here? Am I finding it?
I don't know if it's in this sifkan.
What? Yeah, yeah.
It's in
this. 1 second. 1 second. Is it the next piece? Which one is it? Hey? You should. Oh, Sivkot and Hey, you're saying. Oh, Eimakayim Shtaros Balayla? No.
It's Sivkot Yud, I think.
Because the small is talking about Ksavya, but the Shach seems to imply it.
Shachs is Michalik. He quotes a machlokes. Lo have a kiyum bezdin. Miu hados edus hava.
Because
the
shach
knows
yud.
It's halfway through.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Just 1 second. Is it Osiud? That's the next one.
Yeah.
1 second. Oh, I see. I'm looking at the sma. Ah, okay. Yeah, Nir Dafka Shtar, correct. Thank you. Nir Dafka Shtar, Omi Taim Shakasa Varajba, Mibnesha Mekaimim Lo Al Manisha Bishtari Midim, etc., etc. Batur, Kimikim Shtar Strabanan, Dvar Torah, Inu Sumal Shtar, Mexus in the Bezdin. Thank you. Lo shaychi hayni tami, ve'ein mekaymin ela b'fanav. So Rabbi Yochanan Palik b'shas hasam de'ein mekaymin ela b'fanav. B'tam damar kar v'huad b'bala, v'yav b'bala shor, v'yav b'al shoro. And so on. Abo b'ksim atziyad alove, shem idim b'oim l'chay v'salova atzmo, v'lo shaychi hayni tama, near the Lakula Alma A Makaimin Ala Bafalov K Nirali. Okay. So the Shach concludes that when it comes to Ksavyad, you know, that basically you need Kiyum D'Oraisa. So there's a very interesting source on this. Who saw it? Nobody? You saw it? Oh, I thought I gave that also. So the Ksos says about this. 1 second. Yeah, he quotes the Shach, you're right. He says, he thinks it's wrong. Gam baba, amnam nero aniyostaiti, listen to this. The ein lechalek bekach. The masha kosva shach, the gabi star, ein a maksum ala star, kemishanakra, just in bebezdin, mahochi ein tzor kiyum in a Torah, mash ein kem bechassima siyad halove, leisa. Meaning, he understands that the Shach is saying that the only reason, or put it this way, that the Eidos part of Reish Lakish is going to play an important role in Kiyum Shtaros only being the Rabbanan. And that simple pshat of the Gemara, right? So do you have, I mean, this is, let's take a step back. What I want out of this, right? Savyad, as we know, you know, is a tricky business. Does Ksav Yad have Reish Lakish? Open question. right? You can say in the chasima gadol mizu, you know, but it isn't. You know, it's one thing to say it would work, to say that, you know, the magic of Reish Lakish, you know, will apply to Ksav Yad, you know, is extremely, you know, extremely questionable, right? So again, if everything about this is about, you know, the Chazak of the Chatzif Inish, then it has to be played out on that level. Like how, you know, Edim, you know, or the Baldavar is one thing, but would you say it also about, you know, the Lova? And the Ksos relates to that in the continuation as well. But if the issue is, you know, Reish Lakish and the Eidus, like Reb Chaim, so then it's very dubious to say that Ksav Yad is the equivalent of Reish Lakish. We talked about this right in the context of Shor Chaviyadi, my boy. Correct? Where we have the, you know, big debate. So what he says is, this is really fascinating, but again, how you read this in the Gemara, Amnam Nira, Dein L'chalik B'kap, Dimash Kozav V'ashach, Degab B'shtar, Yidim K'sum, L'ashtar Nasuk, Yim Shekhar, Yisum Abezin, Ochein Tzor Kim in HaTorah, Mash Enkim B'chsiv Asiyad Alove, Leisa. Though the Divrei HaRambam, this is the Ksos L'shitaso, if you remember way back, the Ksos, you know, does interpret the Rambam literally, right? That Eidus Shabishtar is only in, you know, Durabana. Right? So the Divrei HaRambam, Min HaTorah, Eidim Shabishtar lo ava kamisha nechor Eidus of the Bezdin, dava mi pi ksavam, is bafilo hachi lakshach ziyuf, ein choshashin Min HaTorah. Right? Which, of course, is a little ironic, which is one of the things that I mentioned, that some people think that the Rambam's Chiddush in Hilchos Gerush and Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, that there can be Kiyum Daraisa, may be connected to what he writes in Hilchos. I don't think that, but, and you wouldn't say it according to many Mefarshim. So what he's saying is like the opposite. Forget about Zayin Beis. He's basically saying, the Divrei HaRambam, right, there's no Eidus, Min HaTorah, and yet there's Kiyum Shtaros, only Durabanan. So what does that prove? Right? That proves that fundamentally it's not about the Eidus. The Eidus is like a misnomer. The Eidus is just a way of establishing the Mirtas. Right? De Bekula Alma, Talmuda, Muchak, De Medarai, Seyde Maksum, Alashtar, Kim Shinakrus, De Bezdin, Mahidu Reish Gittin, Ahim Bil Sachriti, Dila Inan Lokush, Lemezuya Vadai Lokashinan, Shenamid Agedo Ashtar Al Cheskas, Ovenachsikas Adam Becheskas Kosher, Below Zifu, Doch Hazaka Daraisa, Vak Zuka Reusa Lo Mechazkinan, Umidrabanan, Huda Atzrach. So the Ksos here is suggesting, and this is Lashitaso, the way he understands Rambam, that according to the Rambam, Kiyum Shtaros being Drabanan is all because of the heavy lifting of the Anansadi, of the Chazaka. Hilkach Kabishliach, the Katanam Drabanan, the Drabanan. Im Kela Divya Rambam, Bukhrochim Anulomar, this is like the total anti-Reb Chaim. Okay. This is fascinating. He says, if it was really a din, you know, then it would be open to Tosis' question on Chavches HaMinala, like L'Shavkes Chaya L'Chol Birya. But he means it not just in a practical, like Lo Yitachein way, but also in a moral way. That we're going to establish a halacha, you know, of... take it literally. Then lo shavkes chayil lechol birya. That's if it wasn't true. But again, this is like a great example. He's assuming either chazaka or edus. If it's edus, it's lo shavkes chayil lechol birya. Bim kein kol adam yizayif shtoros beedim manan lo mitzruchi lekiyum denasa kemish nekro bebezdin. Lomar da Torah lo chashasha lekach, doksiv drachel darche noam. Ela korchach mishum chazaka dalochatzif, mamina Torah. Dim came b'ksav yad halova nami lochatzif inish lezufe. Ein lomar d'shtar chosum be'edim mirtas me, you know, me'edim gufayu mash ein ken yad halova. Domina Torah filo edim be'atzmum omrim lochasamnu lo mehemni, kamo shivor. O di yuchal ezayif edim shekvar mesu. El al korchach el mirtas shema yizbar ziyufay deidim acherim mivusabid legluye hu adim b'ksav yad halova nami. So basically, the upshot is, here's you have like the most extreme example of somebody who, even though the Gemara says that Kim Shtaris is Rabbanon, because of Reish Lakish, right, the Ksos is basically saying that it's a misnomer. That if it was really, really a Din of Eidus, you know, then it would be, you know, a problem of Drachel Darchei Noam. But of course, the answer is, you know, that this Eidus is built on Chazaka, and, you know, therefore it has a foundation. And once you have that foundation, then you have a Din of Eidus. But in the case of Ksav Yad, it's very possible that you have, you know, the Chazaka, but you don't have then the Eidus to counter. So then, if there's a real Iror, it's not Iror Keneged Eidim, it's not like Rabbeinu Chananel, right? So then is Kim Shtaros Daraisa. Okay, so this exchange is very, very significant. Similarly, and this will conclude all of this, there's another Nesivas. Right, the Nesivas discusses the issue of two Eidim, who are Chole. You saw it, Asher? Yeah? What?
Which part?
The Nesivas. He quotes the Tumim. He says, first he quotes the Shach. He says the Shach concludes that even if the Edom themselves are Ma'arer, that we ignore them, which as I pointed out is not correct. I mean, the Shach is more suffic, but it doesn't really matter so much. Benidon im Edom Amr lo chasamnu shekotav Shach gam kedein tzarkim daraisa. Toma betumim. This is the Tumim's question. That's what I wanted to get on the record. Go ahead. What's the Tumim's question? How could that be? So that's a great line, right? Meaning what you have here is two Edim coming to court and saying, you know, that a certain chazaka is wrong. And the chesed kashrus kind of thing, you know, as well, in a way. Right? Not cheses kashrus. I mean, like, you know, like he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't commit such a crime. That's who he's comparing it to. So he says, okay, two people come to court and they say, Ploni was mechalel Shabbos. But Ploni's not chashud on chilul Shabbos before they come to court. He has a chazaka being, you know, yashar. What are the odds if you see Ploni in the street, you know, that he's, you know, mechalel Shabbos? I'm not talking about, you know, his money, let's say. Right? Or Lavan of Anazara, right? Meaning, what's the Tumim trying to say? Edim trump a chazaka, correct? First of all, there's a difference between, you know, chazaka kol Yisrael de lo chashidi lekal Shabbos Lavan of Anazkachabe, and that's again more like a personal, you know, chazaka. And of course, you don't assume somebody's an avarian. He's not buksak as an avarian. You have to prove him as an avarian. You know, but that's different than, you know, lo chatzif inshi, which is a kind of an anan sade about, you know, people's own self-interest, the mirtas, the ukmi alai, you know, etc. I mean, one is a, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt as a religious person, and the other may be like, you know, people just don't do this. But okay, that aside. But the bigger point, of course, is that the assumption of the Tumim is that this is just Eidus Keneged Chazaka. Right? But if we hold, of course, you know, that we take literally Eidim HaChasumim Al HaShtar Kimishan Ekrejus, that this Chazaka triggers, you know, Hagadas Eidus Peshtar, you know, so then it's Kivin Shigit Shuvan HaChozer Magid, essentially. Right? The Afilo Hachi Shnei Eidim Nemanim Alav Utmiya Gedolahi Lachei Nira. But the Tumim doesn't back off, or he doesn't back off. The what? The Omar.
The Raisa ain't Zarakir.
So what's he saying? He's Bechadesh, something spectacular, to answer this Tumim. Namely, of course, two Edim, you know, who say we didn't, you know, it's Mezuyah. You know, if both Edim spoke about both Kisveyad, then they would be believed. Lekula Alma. It would be like two Edim coming to court and saying, you know, Chilaltim is a Shabbos, Raktim is a Nefesh. I'm using language from the Ramban, you know, about Hazama, because it's like a similar kind of a problem. Right? You know, the Gemara says, Trey or Trey, you know, Hazama l'chidishu, you know, Mai chos samchas ahai, smoke ahai. So, the Ramban explains in Perashat Torah, what's the chidish? Because it's like, you know, the chiddush is that we treat, you know, two people come and say, you gave false testimony, not as hakasha, but as chilaltim as a Shabbos, haragtim as an ef. You're testifying about a crime. That's what's happening here too. Two people come to court and they testify about, they're saying, that, you know, but when two people come to court and they say, mezuyah, do I mean the kabbalah is, you know, edus alagavra, or is it, you know, it's about the shtar? It's similar to the problem of Hazama and Akasha in a way. Like, what's the Kabbalah Seidus? We're saying, oh, you're a criminal, or we're saying, you know, the shtar, you know, is faulty. You know, if the shtar is faulty, the shtar kicks in and defends itself as Seidus. That's Reb Chaim Zahara. Anyway, but the Tum didn't see that. So his suggestion is the only time that when two Edom come, you know, and say, Lo chasamnu, we won't believe them, is if each one says, it's not my signature, I don't know about the other guy, and the other one says, it's not my signature, I don't know about the other guy. Wow. That's, you know. But if they actually both come and say, it's not my signature, and I know it's not his either, then in a chanami, that will be, you know, Edim against Chazaka, and everybody will agree that that's fine. That's not the simple pshat. Then he goes on to make another ha'ara, and that is an even that should be good enough, because it's like Edus Miuchedus B'dinei Maminus, right? Each one's saying, you know, but when you put them together, if he's right and they're both, you know, together, well, they're kind of Edus Miuchedus, right? He says, Aval Kishameid, Chaber, okay, after Kol Echad, Eno Meid, Rak, Eno Kazar, Bekom Bekishabat, Rak Shein Edus Miuchedus, Ksheir of Mammon, Akosav Atumim, Tumim is Bechadish, something else, that Afilo Mammon, Ein Edus Miuchedus, Eno Kosher Midaraisa. Therefore, you know, ain't tzarech kiyum rak midrabanan. That edus miuchedes, which works in dinei mamonos, is only a din drabanan, not a din dorah. That's spectacular chiddush. Not simple pshat of the sugyas in Makos or in Sanhedrin. But again, just like the ksos about the ksav yad, the assumption here is that you have nothing but, you know, chazaka, and also that there's no difference between, you know, edus frontally, you know, about a crime, as opposed to, you know, edus about, you know, the status of other edus. You know, that's why I'm giving you the example of the Ramban, you know, in his discussion, you know, of Hazam. And then finally, one other point. The Nesivos has a suggestion, namely, what's the other suggestion? I mean, in the Rambam. He wants to be medayik in the language of the Rambam. But the Rambam in Zion Beis seems to say, you know, Vlad Mamzer, the Ir Rabal, you know, requires Kiyum Daraisa, correct? So as we know, that's a problem. So the Beis Shmuel in Simon Beis, I think Siv Katan Tesvav, and again in Simon, what is it? Kuf? Mem Aleph? Siv Katan Ayin, says the Rambam is like Rabbi Victor. Okay, as we said, maybe it's limited to get, maybe it's limited to the Bala Shtar or the Bala get, you know. Not so simple. Other people think that the Rambam, you know, is Lishitaso of his Shita, you know, in general. I don't think so, but other people think it's only a Suffolk and not a Badai, right? The Magen Mishnah, I think, and then I think Eitan was telling me that Taz also in Sivkot, in Simen, Kuf Mem Aleph says that. So this is all very curious. But the Nesivos has a suggestion based on the diuk in the language of the Rambam, namely, that what? Yeah. Again, one more time.
No, no, the Edom.
Yeah. If the Edom are not known, why? The Rambam adds words that seem unnecessary. He says, you know, that the we're talking about a case where the Edom are completely unknown. Right? So is that just like, you know, hyperbole? Right? So the Nesiva says, no, the only reason the Rambam thinks that that this Kiyum Daraisa is because, like, you know, they're just names. We don't know who they are. Not that we can't track them down. And if we don't know who they are at all, then there's no Umnana, there's no Mirtas. Right? And then he goes on to say that in general, in order for this to be in order for, you know, the Kim Stars to be the Rabbanan, you at least have to know the place that the Edom came from so that you can, in theory, track them down so that there's some potential. So again, all this, of course, you know, that would be an interesting explanation of the Rambam, for sure. But, you know, there are two ways to take all of this, of course. And then if, from the perspective of the Nesivas, you know, if this is only a din in Umdana or on Ansadi, etc., and it's based on, you know, the Mirtas or the Ika Leukmi, you know, Allah de Milsa, Milsa Davida Li Gluye, so then it's a very understandable, idea. And then you'd have plenty of cases of, you know, Kim Shtaris Daraisa, frankly. What would you say for Rav Chaim? That's an interesting question. And this goes back a little bit to what we were talking about in the Or HaZeruah. I mean, again, if you need a foundation of Umdana, right, in order to trigger the Eidos Shebishtar, you know, how compelling or how, like, you know, specific, like, that's in general, you know, Kainos Mezuyif, like we were saying, you know, that's built in. It's built into the Hagdara of Ishtar, you know, that because of the general principle of, you know, Lachatzif Inchi, Lizyufe, that, you know, that we, there's a kind of kashrus, you know, Hashtar, etc. And you don't have to look in each case how, you know, cumulative evidence undercuts that, or, you know, it's a case of, you know, Ein Edim, Nodim, Klal, Afilim Mokoma Edim, Lo Noda, Klal, you know, and therefore there's no, you know, strong Umdana. It's part of the general idea. Or no? So these will all be, I think a number of these are cases that I'm trying to show, that if you apply Reb Chaim's perspective to this whole issue, you just have like a whole different calculus, there are nafkaminas, even when they're the same, it's, you know, even when the you know, conclusion is the same, maybe nafal, maybe lo noda bechlal, you know, maybe ksav yad being different, you know, but is it on the umdana level? Or is it because, again, this interface between the Umdana, but especially these are things that affect maybe some of them, Ksaviyad, etc., Nafal. And again, you'd have some cases where Reb Chaim's approach makes, you know, a particular Shita more understandable, or in some cases not acceptable at all. Okay, so that is what remains to be done. I'm sorry, slowly. I want to talk about some of the answers to the Shach's and implicit or Zaruah's question, aside from this Nesivos, about, if Kim Shtaris Daraisa, how do you read the Gemara? I mentioned the Beit Shmuel a little bit, and the Rabbi Yehuda, and the Pnei Yoshua, very quickly. And then we want to talk about the other things, the Amana and Taninan, and those things, Mirtz Hashem, to finish up on Thursday. I guess we're not going to start in Akhundem Bisurim on Thursday, but hopefully we'll be able to start that on Sunday.
Did we see
the Bishmuel? What? Yeah. What? Didn't I give you those a while ago?
Yeah.
Those three are not.
Yeah. Sure. A while ago I gave them. Correct? I gave the Rabbi. I thought the Piskei Tshuva quotes the. This is from a while ago. And right?
That would be in the Piskei Tshuva.
Yeah. Yeah, and I meant this just from a while ago.